Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise God. I'm so glad you're here. Well, today the title of my sermon is Biblical Truth About True Friends. Biblical Truth About True Friends. You know, a couple of weeks ago, my daughter Abigail, who attends a Christian school, won an award called the Ohana Award. And, you know, it was presented to her during her chapel early in the morning. And she was quite surprised that she had won it. And you see, every class in the school, all the classmates and the teachers vote for the student that best exemplifies the spirit of Ohana. And we know what Ohana means if you are here in Hawaii. It means family, right? It means that someone who represents someone who truly is like a family member to everyone. And you hear the classmates, they write out testimonies and they give it to the principal. And the principal kind of reads off the testimonies that were given by the students. And, you know, she reads things like, oh, the student was so helpful and so kind, all around nice guy or girl. And this person is like a true blue friend. And someone you can really, really depend on. And, you know, as she's reading off these things, you see the student go, oh, wow, my classmates think of me as a good friend. And I'm thinking, wow, I mean, isn't that something you want others to think of you as? A true blue friend. And, you know, my children, we often have talks together. And you know, we talk about things of life, and, you know, we just ask them, you know, if there's any problems or any concerns. You know, you always can go to mom and dad. So a lot of times I like to talk to my daughter or my son about, you know, issues in life or whatever it may be. But one day I decided to have a talk with my daughter, and I wanted to talk to her about what it means to be a true friend. Because after all, she already heard all these nice things that was said about her, saying, well, she's a nice person, she's a good friend and all that. And I explained to her, you know, being a true friend is more than just being a nice person. Because you hear that, right? A lot of times, oh, you're a good friend because it's so nice, so nice. But I told her, no, you know what? If you really look in the Bible, there's more to it about just being nice. And I explained to her that being a true friend is someone that you really can depend on. Someone that you know will always be there when no one else is around. And, you know, here's the thing, you know, the world may think, oh, big deal, what's so special about being a nice person? Because we hear that statement, right? Nice guys finish what? Last. That's what the world thinks. But if you really know Jesus, I got to tell you, it's going to be so much easier to be the kind of true blue friend that everybody wants. Because, you know, Jesus is our friend also. He calls us his friend. And we know he's in our hearts. If you are in the Word, you're reading the Bible, you're praying, you're seeking after Him, know that Jesus is alive. Where? In your heart. And you know, this prompted me to look deeper into the Scriptures and see what God has to say about what it means to be a true friend. Because the Bible has a lot to say about it. And sometimes, you know, I got to tell you, you know, for the past 5 years, I talked to a lot of people. And as I counsel them, you know, sometimes people tell me, oh, Pastor, I get a lot of friends, you know, a lot of close friends. But then I kind of wonder, why is it that some of these very best friends are the very ones that's causing them so much stress in their lives? And it seems like they're almost draining them. And, you know, some people have told me, you know, the friends that they have are actually making them miserable. I go, really? And I hear that a lot. And, you know, they told me, like, oh, yeah, my friend always lied to me. Sometimes they cheat me, or they backstab me, or they embarrass me over and over and over again. I said, oh, he's still your friend? I say, yeah. And I ask him, how long have you been friends? And he go, well, some tell me 5 years, some tell me 10 years. And I have to ask them, why? Why? And you know, a lot of times I hear, oh, because the Bible says I got to get along with everybody. And the Bible says I got to do whatever it takes to live at peace with everyone. And it's true, the Scriptures do tell us this. But if we've been friends with someone for that long, and it seems like they're giving us more gray hairs, wrinkled skin, or a nervous tick, it's time to take a good look at our friends. Well, look at the question here. It says, what does the Bible say about who your true friends are? Number one here, it says, true friends speak what? Truthfully into your life. Look what it says here in Proverbs 27:6. It says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I'm going to explain to you what that means in just a second. Well, first of all, I want to tell you, a true friend is not afraid to be totally truthful and honest. I want friends that are honest with me. Sometimes I say, hey, tell me if there's anything, you know, that I done. Oh, you got to let me know if I offended you. Or please tell me if I offended someone or whatever. I want to know about it because, you know, I always want to be right with people. I always want to be right with the Lord. Because, you know what, people like that, they have your best interest in mind. They'll speak into your life because they know that they truly have a love that is genuine, that is real for you. And you know what? They're willing to put their friendship with you at risk, even though they know that, hey, you know, they value your friendship, but they say, you know what? I love this guy or this girl too much. I have to say what's in my heart. I'll give you an example. You know, the person may say, you know what, you're spending too much time in the golf course and you're neglecting your family. And sometimes you go, what? What are you telling me that for? Right? And you kind of get offended sometimes. Or the person may be saying, you know what, you're wasting too much time and money in the shopping mall. And it's not just the females, right? But us guys too, you know who you are. No, just kidding. But you know what? How about this one? Someone telling you, oh, you really don't know God because how you live your life doesn't really show that you love Him. Ouch. What if you heard something like that? Guess who heard that? Me. My brother told that to me like 20-something years ago. I was living a life that was not true. I was really a hypocrite. And I had to go to my brother and say, well, what's your problem? Who are you to tell me that? But you know what? I'm so glad he did. He was relentless. He told me, Ben, you don't really know God. And I said, why? Why do you say that? Because he told me it's how you live. You're not exemplifying Christ. And I got to tell you, it kind of cut right here. But as I thought about it more and more, I said, Lord, it's not so much my brother saying this to me. I know you're saying this to me. You're saying it through my brother, aren't you, Lord? And he says, yes, I am, Ben. What are you going to do about it? And I said, Lord, help me. Humble me, Lord, because I need your help. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. We got to be honest and truthful with one another because that's how we're going to grow. If we don't tell these things to each other, you know what? We're going to stay in the same condition with our hearts. You know, because the enemy, they'll say nice things about you. They will say these things that, oh, going to make you feel good. But you know what? They're far from the truth. You know what I'm talking about? You know, because someone may say, oh, you're looking so nice and pleasant today. Look at you. Oh, wow. And then not realizing you got dirt on your face. You got toilet paper stuck to your shoe. And you don't know. But the guy says, oh, you're looking good. But the person knows, but they're not saying anything. They could be smirking. They go, oh. And, you know, or they may say, oh, you're such a good person. It's okay. It's okay to lie to your spouse this one time. No worry. No worry. God will understand and forgive you. Wow. Do you want that kind of friend?
Can I use the bathroom?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, brother. And that's the thing, right? We don't want that kind of friend that tell us, you know what? It's okay to do something that we know isn't right with God. We want to hear the truth. We always want to know what is real in our lives. That if we know it's displeasing to God, we want our friends to tell us about it. Because you know what? These are the kisses of death. I'm going to call it for what it is. They're kisses of death that we must avoid. Because when you hear this kind of kisses of death, guess what's going to die? Your spirituality, your relationship with Christ, it becomes less and less because you're making what we call compromises. And we can't make any compromises in the kingdom of God. You say you belong to God, you got to live a life that is right, a life that is true to God. And you must say, Lord, If there's anything in me that I need to make right, Father, dig deep. I allow you, Father, will you just dig deeper in me? I'm ready to be hurt in this way because, Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. Are you willing to go to God like this? Because if you do, this is how you're going to mature in your faith. You're going to be like Jesus as you allow God to get so deep within your soul, so deep within your heart that you know changes are coming. You know, a pastor once noted that one Sunday morning during the invitation to accept Christ, you know, after the sermon, people were allowed to come up, and one of the most well-respected senior adult men in the church made his way down in front of the sanctuary, and he served as a faithful leader and a Sunday school teacher. And he had a kind, gentle, and generous personality, and he's one of the hardest workers in the church. I mean, he's willing to do anything for the Lord. And the pastor thought, okay, he's probably coming down to pray for someone else. However, this elderly man took the pastor's hands and he remarked, "Preacher, I want you to pray that I will be on the inside what people see on the outside." Oh. And you kind of realize sometimes we need to go to our brothers and sisters like that and say, "Brother, sister, be honest with me. Am I looking more and more like Jesus? Because if I'm not, will you just speak it into me?" And I look for friends. I tell you the truth. I look for brothers and sisters that will say, "Ben, you're messing up. Ben, you got to make it right." I don't want people just telling me, "Oh, yeah, okay, everything's fine, and I've got sin in my life." I want you guys to be honest so that we can really grow together as a body in unity in Christ. Because we need to have more friends that are willing to be spiritually honest and truthful with us. Forget about those kisses that are untruthful. We don't need these kisses. And you know, it's okay, right? We hear positive things, we hear compliments, but we kind of recognize whether they are kisses of death or not. You'll know, but we realize we do not have to receive all these kinds of kisses. We just know what our Father God thinks of us. That's the most important thing. If you were to ask the Lord, "Lord, how do you think I'm living my life? Is my heart really true unto you?" What would he say? Because the Holy Spirit, he'll see right deep into your heart. The most deepest recesses of your heart, God knows about it. You cannot hide from God. What would God say? And sometimes I tell you, when I do this, I think, "Oh, my life is all good. I haven't sinned for a long time." And then I say, "Lord, I allow you to examine my heart and reveal it to me." And I got to tell you, when I do that, sometimes I'm just crying. I'm bawling. Because I realize, "Lord, I thought I was doing so good, but I'm really not." And I say, "Lord, help me." And guess what he does? He helps you. Because he loves you. But you got to allow the heart to be dug so deep within you that God's going to reveal to you things that you need to make right with him. Amen? Look what it says here in Proverbs 16:28. It says, "A perverse man," perverse means corrupt and untruthful, "sows strife. And a whisperer separates the best of friends." And we know a perverse person will only say things that you want to hear, but it's far from the truth. They'll say things that will bring forth separation, that will bring forth arguments. And he will use lies to accomplish what the devil wants to accomplish. And it tells us here that a whisperer separates the best of friends. So what is a whisperer? Anyone know? Yell it out. What is a whisperer? A gossiper. A gossiper, right? Because he will always whispering, you're always covering your mouth, and you're going, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." And you know what? No matter you are a guy or a woman, we're all guilty of it, aren't we? Some people say, "Oh, just the women." No, guys. You're included too. And we got to watch ourselves, because sometimes we get caught up in it. Oh, it's going to really destroy your soul. And we got to watch out. We got to ask the Lord, "Zip my lip. because I don't want any part of that. And you know, how do you know if the whisperer or the gossiper is talking about you? How do you know? Well, if they're talking about others, the likelihood is they're talking about you too. If there's one person that always talking about someone else, guess what? I'm pretty sure they're talking about you too. And like I said, we're all guilty of that. And we gotta just realize, we gotta stop. Because this is not pleasing to the Lord, amen? And we must make sure we gotta get that right with God. Because this is how you please God. Well, number two here, it says, true friends are loyal to you. True friends are loyal to you. And we all know what happened to Job in the Old Testament book of Job, right? We know that Job, he lost all his possessions, his children, and even his health. The Bible tells us there were boils from the crown of his head to the very soles of his feet. I mean, this guy was miserable. He was suffering like you wouldn't believe. And we know that the Bible tells us that God allowed Satan to inflict all these things upon him because God knew that Job was blameless and he was upright. And it was sort of like a test, right? God already knew. God had confidence in Job that he would follow through. He would not lose his faith in him. And Job, just like anybody else, right? When you're suffering, when you're in pain, what do? You're seeking comfort. You want to have some peace in your soul. What do? You go to your friends, right? Well, we should go to God, but, you know, as human beings, we think, hey, we got to go to our friends. We need to talk it out with someone. And Job, he does turn to his friends, hoping that he will be comforted. Look what it says here in Job 2, 11 to 13. It says here, when Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. And you know, initially it kind of appeared that they were helping him to be comforted until what? They opened their mouths. And then suddenly Job was no longer comforted because they were really harsh with him. And they were pretty much saying to him, you know what? Oh, you messed up big time, Job. What's wrong with you? Oh, man. You messed up, you. And even though Job tells them, you don't understand, guys. I've done nothing wrong. You know, believe me, guys, I've done nothing wrong. Yet his friend Eliphaz says, blessed is the one whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. And it sounds like it's godly counsel. In other words, Eliphaz is saying, no, you're not right with God. You somehow messed up and God is punishing you. And you know, don't get me wrong, brother and sister. Sometimes we need to rebuke. But rebuke in love. But sometimes when our brother and sister says, believe me, I've done no wrong. We do not rebuke them and say, no, you've done wrong. We just gently come beside them and say, let me help you. Let me pray for you. And we give them more of a gentle correcting, and we say, you know what, whatever it is, I'm here for you. And sometimes we come on too strong, we're just bringing our brother or sister down, and we got to realize, no, God doesn't want us to do that, because God wants us to come alongside our brethren. Look what it says here in Job 12:4. It says, I have become a laughingstock to my friends. Though I called upon God and he answered, a mere laughingstock, though righteous and blameless. And Job says, I didn't do anything wrong. Why am I getting this harsh treatment? And Job 16:1-3, it says, then Job replied, I have heard many things like these. You are miserable comforters, all of you, with your long-winded speeches. Do they never end?
What ails you that you keep on arguing? And in Job 19:19, look what Job says. All my intimate friends detest me, though those I love have turned against me. Wow. Can you imagine feeling like that? The very people you thought you would be comforted by, they're slamming you. Imagine, people that you love dearly, they're slamming you, almost like a slamming you right against the door. And you go, whoa, I didn't see that one coming. But you know what? Look what happens in the end with Job. Look what it says here in Job 42:10. It says here, my servant Job will pray for you. This is God talking to Job's friends now. It says, my servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. You have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamite, did what the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. And we can see how loyal Job was to his friends. Even though God was upset with his friends, guess what Job did? Job still prayed for them. And God forgave his friends. And you know, here's the thing. Being betrayed by friends can really hurt sometimes. And I can remember as far as even my elementary school days, man, how hurtful that can be to have a friend that betrays you. I want you to listen to what Max Lucado writes. You guys know Max Lucado, famous Christian author. He defines what betrayal is. He says, it is a weapon found only in the hands of one you love, your friend. Your enemy has no such tool, for only a friend can betray. Think about that for a second. It says, betrayal is mutiny. It's a violation of a trust, an inside job. And Lucado adds that for betrayal, it's more than rejection. Rejection opens a wound. Betrayal pours the salt. You ever had salt on a wound before? And it says here, it's more than loneliness. Loneliness leaves you in the cold. Betrayal closes the door. It is more than mockery. Mockery plunges the knife. Betrayal twists it. Oh. And it's more than an insult. An insult attacks your pride. Betrayal breaks your heart. Ooh, some harsh words there, yeah? But aren't you glad? Knowing all this, right? The Bible tells us, yeah, man or woman can disappoint you, but God will never disappoint you. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. What does that mean? He cannot disown himself. Well, we know when we become believers, we are in the family of God. And we know that we are part of Jesus Christ. So he cannot disown himself. Even if we are faithless, God says, I will remain faithful to you because you are part of me, Jesus says. And his love will continue on, regardless of what we do. Amen? Isn't that good news, brothers and sisters? Regardless, he loves us that much. And you know, I kind of know how Job may have felt, you know, when it concerns betrayal. You know, I got to tell you, I remember in high school, in my junior year, I met this guy. I just say his name is Melvin. That's not his real name, but let's just say his name is Melvin. And I remember I met him and we started talking a lot, and I discovered we got a lot of the same interests. And at that time, I was listening to like heavy metal music and all that stuff. And I remember he said, yeah, I'm into that group and this and all that. And we just talked for hours on the phone and stuff like that. And I remember one time, you know, when you get to a point where you feel like you trust someone, you just feel like you can just tell them anything, right? So I told him about my fear of roaches. You know, those big ones that can fly? Oh, it freaks me out. And I remember I shared that with him, and he goes, oh, yeah, wow. And he kind of shared some things with me. But so I remember one night I said, you know what? I'm going to hang out with some of my friends. Why don't you come? They go, okay, okay. Sounds good. So, you know, we were all having a good time. We're just talking story. And I didn't know this, but he was actually collecting some roaches. And I'm thinking, okay, well, what is that? You know, at first I didn't know about it. But here's the thing. Suddenly I'm just sitting on one of the stools and I feel something crawling on me. What? Sorry. You see how much fear it puts in. But you know, that's the thing, right? And I remember I freaked out. And I go, whoa, what is that? And the next thing I know, he was throwing roaches on me. And I looked at him and go, hey brother, what are you doing? And he was laughing. And you know what? The thing is, I didn't know him that long. But you know what really hurt? My other friends that I knew since kindergarten. They were laughing along with him. That's what really hurt me. And you know, after that, I kind of kept my distance with Melvin. But you know, I went to my friend and said, hey guys, I didn't expect that from you guys. And you know what, they apologized and they said, sorry Ben, we don't know what got into us. But I forgave them. But we realized this is what betrayal can do. It can cut you deep, can it? And we realized, no, we gotta let the Lord heal our pains, heal the wounds that someone may have done against us. Amen? Well, number three here, it says, true friends always choose love first. And look what it says here in Proverbs 17:9. It says, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. And we got to realize a powerful tool for love is forgiveness. Because if you say you love someone and you still are holding on to unforgiveness, oh man, that's not true love. Because true love will say, you know what, I forgive. I'm letting it go. And you know, I got to tell you, there's this former UCLA coach who made this following statement. He says, a few years back, I was in the middle of a terrible season as football coach at UCLA. It got so bad that it even upset my home life. And he says, my dog was my only friend. And he went to his wife and he says, I told my wife, you know what? A man needs at least two friends. And you know what she did? She bought him another dog. Wow. And you know, a friend is someone you can turn to even when things aren't going well. Because when others scatter or offer to buy you another dog, a true friend draws closer, giving even more of their time, more of themselves. And although we might hope for more than just one good friend, I got to tell you, it's a tremendous blessing to have just at least one. If you have a friend like that, just one, that you can go to with your heart, and they're willing to listen, they're willing to receive all the hurt, all the suffering and pain that you may have, and they're willing to listen. Oh man, that means a lot. Just one. Consider yourself blessed. And you know, even if everyone else disappoints us, it's nice to know that we can always count on the friendship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in your notes, in Proverbs 18:24, it says here, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And we know Jesus, he sticks closer than a brother. He says, I'll be there for you. I love you that deeply. And we can find friends like that too. But you know, the ones that really have the love of God and Christ in them, we know, oh, they can love us that deeply as God loves us. Look what it says here in Proverbs 17:17. It says, a true friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. And you can just imagine this. It could be the very fact that God allowed someone to be born so that, because God knew way in the future, you would need a friend to keep your head up high. And this person was born so that he or she can help you. Can you think about that for a second? realizing God, He's so concerned about our every need. He thinks way in the future. He knew that maybe like 30-something years later, you would have this problem. And at the same time, He allowed this other person to be born. Because this person will speak life into you. This person will encourage you. Isn't that powerful? Because that's what it says. A brother is born to help in time of need. And you got to realize, that's a mighty awesome God we serve, isn't it? That we have a God that loves us so deeply. And you know, they are totally there for you when trouble comes into your life. And I got to tell you, I remember in 1999, my dad passed away. And it was such a sad time for me and my family. And I remember I was just like so sad, and I was just like crying all the time. And I remember there was this couple, my really close friends, that cooked dinner for me and my family for a whole week. And they're right there, Tina and Omar. And you know, things like that, we don't forget. I just talk about this, I'm ready to cry, you know? They were there for me. They prayed for me, and they said, you know what? Don't worry, we're going to do the cooking. We're going to help you, you know, to get through this. Man, those are the kind of friends I say, thank you, Lord. They're true. They're genuine. And I realize, you know, when we have these kinds of friends, consider yourself blessed. Amen? Because that's what we need to do. We got to stick closer than a brother. We're united in the Spirit of Christ. Amen? And that's the kind of friends we should be to each other. Number four here. It says, true friends will defend you and be willing to fight for you. Ecclesiastes 4:10, it says here, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls down and has no one to help him up. Just imagine the very fact that you have fallen. I'm talking about whether it be physically or spiritually. And you know what? Just imagine, no one is there to help you up. No one is there to support you. Or say, you know what, I'm extending my hand, I'm going to help you. Man, it's a sad place to be. You know, there was a study in Japan where they discovered the healthiest people who live long lives, they had strong support systems. I mean, they had family, they had friends that gathered around them and always encouraged them. I want you to think about this. Isn't it true? Remember when there was an earthquake and tsunami in Japan? I remember they showed images and pictures and video of the people standing in line for water and for food. You know, sometimes we see, you know, other places where people are shaking their fists. Hey, when's my turn? Hey, I gotta get some water. No, they were standing in line and they're saying, you know what, people in there first. You got some young kids. Cool. And they're always helping each other. They're not complaining. They say, no, you first. Imagine if we can have that kind of heart and live together in harmony and in unity. We're going to have these strong support systems all around us if we learn to love each other deeply. Amen? Because, you know, there was a survey of 40,000 Americans, and they were asked, what are the qualities that they most valued in a friend? You know, number one, it says, it's the ability to keep a confidence. Whatever is told to a friend, we can trust that the friend will keep it confidential. That's number one. Number two here, it says loyalty. And number three, warmth and affection. Top three things that Americans want in a friend. And is it true we want those things? Someone we can depend on, someone that we can go to when we're hurting. And we need friends to help us up when we are down. And you know what? We see this in the friendship that David had with Jonathan. You know, before David became king, he served King Saul. And Saul became very jealous of David because he excelled when he led the armies into war. And he was becoming more popular than Saul. People would be chanting, oh, David, he's awesome in every way. He's killing and slaying all the enemy. And we got to realize Saul, they didn't like that one bit. But you know, Jonathan was Saul's son and David's best friend. Can you imagine? The son that that we know is the son of King Saul. I want you to look here. It says, 1 Samuel 18. It says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. He became one in spirit. Can we become one in spirit? Yes, we can. Because our spirit, we're related spiritually. We're related by Jesus Christ. If you say you believe in Christ, the Spirit of Christ is in you. The Spirit of Christ is in me. And we're related this way. And we know as we go in one in spirit in Christ, that's where you're going to experience the fullness of Christ in you and in me. Amen. Look what it says in 1 Samuel 19, 3-5. It says here, Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed that Philistine. You know what that Philistine is, right? Goliath. And it says, the Lord won a great victory for all of Israel, and you saw it and you were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason? Can you see what Jonathan is doing here? What is he doing? He's defending his friend. I mean, imagine, his father is the king, but he knew David's heart, and he was willing to defend him. Are we willing to defend our friends, you know, when they're accused of doing wrong? And we go to people and say, oh, but you know, you don't know this person. I know his heart. We got to be willing to do this. We got to help each other out. We got to defend one another. The question is, do your friends stand by you when nobody else does? That's a true indicator whether or not you have a real friend or not. They stand by you when it seems like nobody else is around. I got to tell you, there were two men that were out hunting in the northern part of the United States. And suddenly one yelled and the other looked to see a big, giant grizzly bear charging at them. And the first man started to frantically put on his tennis shoes. And his friend anxiously asked, hey, brother, what are you doing? Don't you know you can't outrun a grizzly bear? And the other man says, I don't have to outrun a grizzly. I just have to outrun you. And she kind of realized it sounds, I know it. But you know, that's the thing. We want friends that say, hey, you're in danger, I'm in danger. You're hurting, I'm hurting. You see that? That's the kind of love of Christ that is in us. It's the kind of love that is willing to share with one another in love. It's the kind of love that says, you know what? I'm going to stretch out my hand towards you. I'm going to help you out. Even though everyone else is against you, no, I'm going to help you out. And we got to be like that. We got to help each other to that point where we show the true love of God. And this time, we're going to look into something that will really give us clarification of what a true friend is. Because we're going to look to Jesus as an example of what it means to be a true friend. Look what it says here in John 15, 13. It says, greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. And you have to ask, are your friends willing to lay down their life for you? Or would they pour honey on you and yell to the angry grizzly bear, dessert time, come and get it. I know, I'm just giving you an illustration, right? But you know, no, we're going to say, hey, we're in this together. You know, we know it's a big grizzly bear, two of us here. You know, with God, let's take this bear down. That's the kind of heart. That's the kind of faith that God wants us to have, amen? And you realize He will give you strength. He will give you power when you stand strong with your brother or your sister. Well, look what it says here in Romans 5:8. It says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And you got to understand that Jesus did not only have a deep compassionate love for his friends, but also for the people that did not accept him. The Bible tells us people spat in his face, that people mocked him, people cursed him while he was carrying that cross down to Calvary. But you know what? Jesus says, no, I still died for that person because I love him, or I love her. While we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. And just imagine this. If you know that you have a friend that's willing to lay down his or her life for a complete and total stranger. Because we hear stories of stories like that, right? Where someone, you know, like I remember a man jumping into the well to save a little girl, knowing that his life would be at risk. But why did he do it? And you know, he was interviewed and he said, because it's the right thing to do. Wow. Just imagine this. If there's someone you know that is like that, how much more do you think this person would be willing to die for you? They're willing to die for a total stranger. Someone they don't know, but if let's say this person is your friend. Can you just imagine how deep this person's love is? It's not superficial, it is as deep as you can get, because this is the true indicator whether or not you have the love of God. Do you have the willingness to die for someone? Because guess who did this for us? Jesus did. And he showed us by what he did. His love showed us that he loved us that deeply. And we can go to God and realize as we allow his love just to come and just wrap us up and just continue to fill us up, overflowing of his goodness, we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to be a friend like Jesus. And look what it says here in Romans 5. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for this while we're still yet sinners. Oh, I already said that. But we know this is the kind of love that is authentic, the kind of love that is real. But you know, Jesus, he took it another step up, and he knew that there had to be a price to be paid. And the Father revealed it to him, and he says, you know, first he says, take this cup, but he says, not my will, but your own. And he knew this is what needed to be done in order for us to be set free from the bondages of sin and death. Look what it says here in John 15:15. It says here, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And we know, according to what this verse shows us, it tells us a true friend will always want to share their blessings with you. And they're not going to hold back. Because it says, even Jesus says, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. What a friend we have in Jesus. Knowing that, he says, what I got from my Father, you're going to receive it too. And they're always willing to share, always willing to give. And that's a true heart of a friend. Look what it says here in John 14:12. It says here, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And a true friend will put his friends first above himself. And you know what? They won't mind if their friend gets ahead of them. You know, they could be, let's say, working at the same place together. And knowing that the friend got the promotion over him, they're happy. Oh, praise God. You know, that's a true friend. Because it tells us, Jesus, he says, you're going to be doing greater things than I do. Imagine, Jesus is God. And he's saying, you're going to be doing greater things than me. And you can see how unselfish our Lord God is. That he's saying, no, I want you to receive the same kind of abundance that I receive. You're going to be doing greater things than I did. So the question now here is, how do we become best friends with God? Look what it says here in James 2:23. It says, and so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. And I got to tell you, I believe for every Christian believer, when you're asked who your best friend is, what should you say? Your spouse? Your mom? Your dad? It should be God. It should be Jesus. That should be your answer, because He is your best friend. He considers you as His best friend. And we know Abraham, he trusted and believed in God as a friend. He knew that God would not let him down. You know, it's interesting. There's this British publication that had this contest, and they wanted to know what is the best definition of a friend. You know, some of the responses that they came forth were, one person says, a friend is one who understands our silence. Sometimes we just need to be silent, and as we are silent, that's where healing comes, and our friends surround us. That's all good, just to have them there. Sometimes it's such a healing effect, knowing just the physical presence of your friends that are there. Another person wrote, a friend is a watch that beats true for all time and never runs down. Wow. A watch that beats true for all time and never runs down. But you know what was the winning statement in this publication? A person wrote that a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. I'll say that again. A friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. That one person that will stick by your side. That's a true friend. That's a friend says, no, I'm here with you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm sticking with you. And that's where we know this is because of the love of God in us that allows us to do this. Amen? And we know with Abraham, because he put his faith and trust in God, you know, God was pleased. Because the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when we have this kind of faith, God says, oh, you're my friend. Oh, you're my real friend. You know, I want to read to you this piece that was written by this person named C. Raymond Baran. And he's a poet and he's an author. And he wrote this piece, I think it was on a greeting card. You probably read some of his material. He's very famous, but he has written a lot of pieces about friendship. I want to just read it to you, what he says here. He says, what is a friend? Friends are people with whom you dare to be yourself. Your soul can be naked with them. They ask you to put on nothing, only to be what you are. They do not want you to be better or worse. When you are with them, you feel as a prisoner feels When you are with them, you feel as a prisoner feels who has been declared innocent. You do not have to be on your guard. You can say what you think as long as it is genuinely you. Friends understand those contradictions in your nature that lead others to misjudge you. With them, you breathe freely. You can avow your little vanities and envies and hates and vicious sparks, your meanness and your absurdities in opening up to friends. They are lost, dissolved on the white ocean of their loyalty. They understand. You do not have to be careful. You can abuse them, neglect them, tolerate them. Best of all, you can keep still with them. It makes no matter. They like you. They are like fire that purges to the bone. They understand you. You can weep with them, sing with them, laugh with them, pray with them. Through it all and underneath, they see, know, and love you. A friend? What is a friend? Just one, I repeat, with whom you dare to be yourself. You know, I can't help but to think of my best friend, Jesus. Because there are times I gotta spare my soul. Because I can go to my brother or sister in Christ, in faith. But, you know, there's no other experience than being with your best friend who calls himself God. I want you to watch this video. It's one of my favorite songs. It's called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Arthur, can you go ahead and play that, please? We got to realize our Lord Jesus, He's just a prayer away. Our best friend, He's just a prayer away. The song says, are there any burdens or any heavy laden that you are carrying around? The Bible says that we are to give it to God. We are to cast all our anxiety upon Him because that's the kind of friend He is. He's willing to take it from us because He loves us. And, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm boasting, but, you know, actually, this was the second time my daughter Abigail won this Ohana Award. And she actually won it last year too. And you know, my son also won this award recently. You gotta understand it was voted by their classmates and their teachers. And you know, some people say, oh, so what? What's the big deal? The world may say, oh, you got a nice person award, you know. But you know, you realize these are the fruits of the Spirit. And this really truly indicates that we are like Christ. And I praise God. And you know, believe me, I don't want to take any credit, you know, for the fact that they won these awards. You know, sometimes parents say, oh, yeah, because I taught them well, and then I did this, and I did that. And my wife will say the same, oh, I don't want any credit. Because, you know, sometimes I'm not the nicest person. Or I'm not the most patient person, or I'm not even the kindest person. Sometimes I'll snap. Or sometimes I'll say things that I go, oh, why did I say that? Ben, what's wrong with you? And I realize, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that corrects me. It's the Holy Spirit that shows me, Ben, you want to be like my son Jesus. You know, you got to learn to understand that we must be in control. Because one of the fruits of the Spirit is control, self-control. But you know, one thing I know for sure, my best friend, he's in me. And I got to tell you, I hope and pray that God, my Lord Jesus, my best friend in the world, will continue to be that role model for my children. Because He is my best friend. And if my children can see that my best friend truly lives in me, and if I'm exemplifying Christ well, I know their best friend is in them too. Jesus Christ will continue to lead us, guide us to be the person He wants us to be. Amen. It's all about Him. Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before our Lord God and King. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for this message that was spoken today. And I know it's Your Holy Spirit that has led me to this message. Father, I know, Lord, there's so many things that were revealed to me, Lord, that I know, Father. I got to really look deep within my heart. And it's Your Holy Spirit that will show me. It's Your Holy Spirit that will purge and get deep within my heart. And correct me of things that I know that are not right here. And I just pray right now, as Your Holy Spirit is convicting us and speaking to us in ways that will truly transform us. If you know the Holy Spirit is digging deep within your heart, and you know there's some things you need to correct, oh, let the Holy Spirit just do that open heart surgery, as we will call it, and know that as you surrender things to Him, as you give up your life to Him fully, He will come in and He will show you how to be more like Him. And if you know the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now, you say, yeah, that's me. I want the Holy Spirit to come in and help me to be the kind of friend that Jesus is to me. with all our heads bowed with our eyes closed, can you simply raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to be more like my best friend, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Can you put your hands down? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters here, for all that have raised your hand. Father, will you let your Holy Spirit just come down, just touch their heart deeply, Lord. And as they make their lives right with you, Father, I pray, Lord, they will be more like Jesus. And they'll be the kind of friend that everyone wants to be around, because they will be filled with your love, filled with your peace, filled with your joy. Let it be an overflowing of your goodness in our lives, Lord, as we come with a heart that is fully surrendered to you. I praise you, God, for what you have started in my brothers and sisters' life and in my life, Father, and what you will continue to do. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your soul, deep within your heart. And if you are ready to receive Jesus into your life, know that as you make this decision, you're going to be welcomed into the family of God. And if you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, oh, don't resist. Don't deny him. Because the Bible says, if you deny him, he will deny you. So if you're ready, you know the Holy Spirit is doing the job. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to receive Jesus Christ fully into my heart. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. When we pray this prayer out loud, let's pray together. Pray together as a family. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God. So that everyone can hear me. So that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. And I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's all stand. Let's give glory to our Father God. Yes.
Love you, are good, and you are mercy.